I didn't want to go because it seems to me that one of the dangers that exists in... may exist more and more is that once you pass the point of interesting people in what you're doing and they become interested, then what they want is not anything new from you, but rather what you have done before. So that you could be kept busy week after week, never having a chance to do anything but fulfill engagements, answer the telephone, and answer your correspondence. I remember speaking to Suzuki in Japan a few years ago about this question. He said it exists even in the field of philosophy. That philosophers who become of interest to a public are required to give so many lectures and classes and write books, answer questions and so forth, that they have no time to think.
It's almost as if one was destined to stop thinking at not perhaps in terms of our own level, but on others.
Yes.
They step in. All right, you thought enough. And you begin to feel, especially as one becomes famous, celebrated, you begin to feel, yes, I have thought enough.
Well, I must say that approaching, as I am right now, this Festival of Art and Technology in Stockholm, offhand this would appear to be, and I imagine it certainly would have appeared to me 10, 20 years ago, as a great opportunity. Not an opportunity to do something which I had already done, but an opportunity to do something that I had not yet done. Or as I find as I get closer and closer to it, that there is a resistance in me to have a new idea for an occasion. If I have a new idea, I would like it to be somehow free of occasion. Free of this Well, I remember years ago, Marty, that we spoke about freedom, and you explained to me very clearly with that beautiful story about the birds that there is no such thing as freedom. You remember that you...
That even the birds...
You studied the birds, and you saw they were all grabbing for scraps of food.
Yes.
We do believe, though, that the... that though there are controls in our life, as for instance with the birds that need to eat, that those controls could be in other places than they presently are.
I mean, you find, I found recently when I was in England that you become a victim of your own, you know, of all the stories told about you, true or false. I was in some pub, and a young composer came over to me, and he said to me, would you like a ginger ale, Mr. Feldman? And he heard evidently that I love ginger ale. I didn't want ginger ale. That particular, you know. I was in England for the first time. I wanted something else. I didn't want ginger ale. And I said, yes, thank you. I didn't want to hurt his feelings. But even on a musical and the whole aesthetical area of one's life, you really, in a sense, as one goes along, you don't want to disappoint this other self, in a sense, which becomes the young composers or the public, like an extension of oneself, a peculiar extension. You acquiesce, like a good parent, to their ideas about you.
I had an interesting thing happen recently. I went to San Jose State College, California. Buckminster Fuller had been there for, I think, a month, not so long before I arrived. And I gave a talk in which I mentioned both him and Marshall McLuhan a good deal. And during the question period after the talk, a girl came up and said, "Now, Mr. Fuller." I was very pleased. It was very refreshing to be mistaken, you know, after you'd spent a whole evening with someone.
But you didn't correct her.
No, I was delighted.
Yes.
I laughed.
Well, that's what I mean.
And I had then this kind of freedom I was speaking of, a freedom from being known.